The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on February 4th, 1985 in Shridham, Mayapur.
Karoti vachalang pangulang gayate giring yat kripata mahang bande Sri Gurung dinasadinang paramanandho madhavam Sri Chaitanya Iswaram.
One, I can't remember exactly who said it. Maybe it was Itai Chand Maharaj. Someone said something about being a kshetra sannyasi. So we know a kshetra sannyasi means one should never leave the holy dham. And one has to stay within that kshetra. So in this regard, since Prabhupada sometimes sent me out to preach, I was wondering how this word would be accurate, because everything which the sannyasis say and the great devotees say always is accurate. And then I remember how Srila Prabhupada said that if you can't physically live in a place sometimes, but mentally you should live there. And when I'm in Mayapur, those who have been with me when I'm overseas or when I'm in Mayapur, they notice that when I'm in Mayapur, I tell less stories about Lord Chaitanya than when I'm outside of Mayapur. Because when I'm in Mayapur, then I'm not feeling so much separation from Lord Chaitanya. So then I tell other instructions. But when I'm outside of Mayapur to try to maintain my connection with the holy Dham, then I'm more inclined to always tell stories about Lord Chaitanya, which for a moment gives me some relief from not being in the holy Dham. But there was one other aspect of this kshetra sannyas that I was thinking about, is that Prabhupada has given us the kshetra of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And that certainly we want to remain within ISKCON always and never go outside ISKCON. And so in this sense, certainly we should all take up this mood of kshetra sannyas, that we don't want to leave the family of ISKCON. We want to stay within this kshetra, this holy abode created by Srila Prabhupada. And I think everyone will agree that in that aspect, we should all be kshetra sannyasis. The house that Srila Prabhupada has constructed is, and will be, always a very intimate connection, not only with Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees, but also with our previous acharyas, like His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur before, because Srila Prabhupada said the reason He created or constructed or formed the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was to satisfy the specific expressed desires of the previous acharyas. So, therefore, this ISKCON is the embodiment of the fulfillment of the previous acharya's desires. Just as we pray to Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale, that Rupa Goswami is glorified because he has taken Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam, the desire, the dream of Lord Chaitanya, Stapitam Jaina Bhutale, and he's established that, given it a form, given it a practical implementation in the universe. So, in this material world. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada has taken Rupa Goswami's, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, Gaurakishore Das Babaji's Bhakti, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's desires. They are expressed aspirations for having Krishna consciousness spread everywhere, and he has given it a formal shape. He's molded it, designed it, and even troubleshooted and refined its functioning through the years into the, as Bhakti, His Holiness Bhakti Shurumar has expressed, this great spiritual family, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So everyone, whether they are directly in an ISKCON center or whether they are connected through one of our Namhatta programs, they should feel the pride. We are allowed to feel pride for Krishna, for the Guru, for the Vaishnavas. We shouldn't feel personal pride because, after all, anything we are able to do is only by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So we are allowed to feel pride in ISKCON, in the great Vaishnavas that reside in ISKCON, and moreover, especially in the greatest founder, Acharya, His Divine Grace, Abhay Charan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, and his incomparable achievements. And of course, in our previous acharyas, whose desires were the impetus and the moving force to inspire Srila Prabhupada to create the ISKCON movement of Krishna consciousness. So, in this movement, our special strength is that we are dedicated to carrying out the instructions of the spiritual master and the previous spiritual masters. And therefore we're always looking to them for help, for blessings, for strength. Actually, Srila Prabhupada once instructed that a disciple should always feel like a fool before a spiritual master. So then I took advantage of that instruction, and I thought myself very proud that I was going before Srila Prabhupada, and that I told him, Srila Prabhupada, I am a great fool. At that time inside, I was quite proud of myself that I remembered his instruction, and I was superficially humiliating myself. But seeing through my false ego, he looked at me and said, yes. So, we have to not only remember the instruction of the spiritual master, not only be proud to be connected with his great disciplic succession, but we also have to guard ourselves from being conceitful or being self-proud when during some rare moment we happen to remember their instruction and we try to do it. We should rather think that this is the minimum obligation I have. It's our eternal duty to carry out the instructions of the spiritual master. It is nothing to be proud of. This is the minimum. Rather, we should try to carry out the instructions of the spiritual master. If we can do that, well, our success is guaranteed. But our aspiration should be to not only carry out the instructions of the spiritual master which he has directly given, but then to try to fulfill other dreams, other desires of our spiritual master and even the previous acharyas, and ultimately of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, even if we were able to do that, we should still not feel proud of ourselves, but we should feel thankful if anything is able to be achieved, that their mercy has been given to enable that to happen. We should always see how the mercy is coming down. Now, of course, the devotees, they see that this individual is doing this service. And, of course, it's their duty to glorify the Vaishnavas. That's how Krishna, he has the competition. The Vaishnavas are trying to glorify the Lord, but the Lord is trying to see that the Vaishnava is glorified. So the Vaishnava himself never thinks that he's doing anything. Master and the Vaishnavas and Lord Chaitanya Krishna. But from the external view, it appears that, well, he's doing everything. And so he's getting the credit. This is Krishna's way of winning in the competition. He's giving the mercy, taking the devotee as his instrument in his own hands, doing wonderful things sometimes, but he lets the devotee take the credit, when actually he's doing everything. This is the devotee's viewpoint, and this is the fact. So, our greatest aspiration is to be an instrument in the hands of the Lord. Some great yogis, they want to achieve yoga siddhi, mystic power, so that they can have the satisfaction of doing wonderful things. But that's very dangerous because, after all, that yoga siddhi is also a blessing of the Lord. But those yogis think that they're doing it themselves because they've got that technique how to manipulate material nature through yogic siddhi. The devotee doesn't desire any independent, independent power. The devotee wants rather that Krishna use him as an instrument in his hand through his spiritual master. That the Guru Parampara mercy is coming down, and thus the devotee is an instrument in Krishna's hand to do his will. So, that is the greatest desire of the devotee. Remember Srila Prabhupada in his prayer when he reached America. He said, I don't remember the exact words. Maybe Bhakti Churu Maharaj has memorized it. Something like, Nachao Sevave Nachavo, something like that. Did you make me dance in your hands, just like a puppet? However you want me to dance, let me dance in that way. That we want to be guided at every second by the Lord. And actually Krishna gives us guidance. The spiritual master give us constant help. One can realize a constant connection with Krishna by his mercy. So, we should reinforce that connection by doing those things which are pleasing to Krishna. The Krishna said, there's nothing which makes the devotee more dear to me, nor will there be ever a devotee who is dearer than the one who explains these teachings of Krishna consciousness to my devotees. This is one of the last verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So, because all of you are in this Krishna conscious movement, that means all of you are very, very dear to Lord Krishna. So, therefore we have to be very careful. Even a guru should be careful not to offend a disciple. Of course, the guru is always thinking of the welfare, the spiritual welfare of the disciple. Should somehow that consciousness be lost, that would be very dangerous. Because even the disciple is considered as dear. In fact, you'll find in South India, some of our Vaishnava Sampradayas have become very much influenced by the Shankaracharya method of sannyas. So when the disciple approaches the guru and offers obeisances, the guru normally never responds. At best, he may offer some ashirvada. But we find that in our Vaishnava culture, that the guru should return the obeisance offered by the disciple. So you find that when the disciple is bowing down, our previous acharyas, Prabhupada, they would also, with folded hand, they would return. Because in the heart of that disciple, Krishna is there. So we are to respect the presence of Krishna in everyone. We never forget that Krishna is there in every person. So, the reason why I'm bringing up these points is to just impress, then, how careful, if a guru has to be careful about the welfare of his disciple, who Krishna has placed in his care, what to speak of God brother to God brother, or spiritual cousin brother to cousin brother. How much more careful they have to be. Although they are equals spiritually, they may be swatirtha, equals in spiritual relationship. Both of them are very dear to Krishna. Therefore, one should be very careful not to make any offense to any spiritual equal as well. And then you can understand how important it is to be very cautious, not to be negligent or offensive or demanding to one's spiritual superiors. So, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So that means we have to increase our awareness, our consciousness of Krishna. And Krishna is never alone. He is always with the devotees. So we have to increase our consciousness of the devotees. And all those things which are loved by Krishna. Just as we say, Mahaprasade Govinde Nam Brahmane Vaishnave Swalpa Punyang Bhatara Jang Vishwasanoiva Joyate. That someone is not of a small faith. If he has faith, she has faith, when we say he, we mean both always, in the Lord's Mahaprasadam, in Govinda's holy names, in the Vaishnavas, in the Brahmanas, those who know the absolute truth. Even they're not Vaishnava, they don't know Krishna, but if they know Brahman, the spiritual reality, they're also considered transcendentalists, they're to be respected also as dear to Krishna, although the Vaishnavas are more dear because they have accepted Krishna as their life and soul. So Krishna also accepts them in reciprocation. So I know that in my crude and inefficient way of trying to carry out Srila Prabhupada's orders, sometimes I, in my crass enthusiasm, I may sometimes step on the toes of different of my godbrothers and cause them unnecessary inconvenience. I was told by one godbrother who's not here today, so I won't mention his name, that when we were just living in the grass hut here and I was growing those bananas and papayas and everything, that I was very strict that all of the fruits should first go to Krishna before they're offered. In fact, when I hear today that sometimes our Gurukul students raid the mango trees before offering them to Radha Madhav, it makes me angry. And they're very lucky I'm not around during that ripening of the mango season. So at that time, apparently I was a bit insensitive that one of my godbrothers was very sick. And we at that time had no money, no car. All we had was one bicycle. And he was very sick. He couldn't eat the rice prasad that we were taking at that time. So he'd ask if he could have a papaya. So I said, well, let it be offered. Then you can have the mahaprasad. But he said that when he went for the mahaprasad, that time, because the pujaris, although they weren't sick, but they were wanting their share, they gave him only two small... So he was on the verge of starvation. So he noticed that one of the papayas was ripening on the tree, but the ripened part, you know, when papaya turns ripe, it turns red, that was on the inside of the tree. So it was not spotted yet by me. So he had to confess to me just a few weeks ago that in that moment of weakness, he actually stole the papaya and hid it. And at midnight, he went out in the field and he devoured the papaya because that was the only time he could get away with it. But actually, I felt bad that although I wanted to, of course, protect Krishna's property and see it was offered, that I had caused so much anxiety to one of the other devotees. And in this way, then I felt maybe I'm committing so many offenses. In trying to do my service, I may become Niyam Agraha. But that way I have to request everyone that in this way, if I've ever committed any kind of offenses where in trying to do my service, I become a little fanatical or something and thereby cause someone difficult, that they could kindly give me their forgiveness for that. By my nature, I become fixed on a particular thing of some quality, some, I don't know if it's a defect or what it is, but I have some concentration that whenever I am thinking about one thing, I become very absorbed in that. And my mother, my previous ashram, she told me that even when I was a child, if I was reading a book, normally with children, if you call them for lunch, they always like to come. Of course, if they're playing, sometimes they don't like to come. But normally, if they're reading a book, they'll rather go and eat prasadam or food. Apparently, when I would read books or be doing something, I would become so absorbed that they would call, I would actually not hear them. And it was a fact, I wouldn't hear. They would have to come and touch my body to break me out of that concentration. So sometimes I become absorbed in a particular objective. And to achieve that, I may do so many things, trying to see that it gets done. So in case by that effort someone is disturbed, that of course is never my intention. So I was sorry to hear how one godbrother had to go to such a length to get a papaya. He could have told me the pujari didn't give him a much. I would have certainly tried to do something. But another thing I was just thinking of, that someone said how I was like Narada Muni. Well, I don't think that those words are appropriate, because Narada Muni, wherever he went, he was able to do so much preaching, and he would bring people to Krishna consciousness, where hardly, I don't feel that I'm adequately able to bring enough people to Krishna consciousness. But in one sense, it may be true that because Srila Prabhupada, he said that he, just like Narada Muni, he had been cursed by the parents of all the young children, boys and girls who had joined his movement. And in Vrindavan, Prabhupada told me that now I cannot travel anymore. Now you have to take this curse. And ever since then, I've been traveling. Even though for 9 years I never left Mayapur, right after that I was, by victim of so many responsibilities and circumstances, I'm forced now, I can never stay anywhere more than a few days. There's always some reason that I have to go on to the next place very quickly. So, in this regard, recently, just when I was in South India, I had just, one of my disciples who had taken a brief vacation under the influence of family and his own mind, took shelter of some of his family members. He rejoined to help Lord Chaitanya's movement. And his family member looking for that devotee. Then I remembered that, just see how sometimes the family members are certainly giving their curses to me, just as they used to curse Prabhupada. And I remembered the story of how Narada Muni, he saw that there were 10,000 wonderful children, wonderful sons born to Daksha, who were performing austerities in the forest. And then he went to them while they were performing their austerities and preached to them how they should become Krishna conscious and fully dedicate their life to Krishna. And how Daksha went and he gave them all sannyas. So at that time, Daksha became very angry at Narada Muni and started to curse him and reprimand him that they should all, first of all, enjoy life. And after enjoyment, then they will only achieve tyaga. First bhoga, then tyaga. But actually, Prabhupada said this is for the less intelligent people. That actually we can learn by others' mistakes. So like Narada Muni, we want to say to people, why should they have to enjoy, which means that then they'll have to suffer. Bhoga brings tyaga, because by sense gratification that brings suffering, and suffering brings renunciation. So why should we wish anyone to suffer? If we can inspire them with spiritual ecstasy somehow, and if they can avoid the bhoga tyaga suffering syndrome, and if they can directly achieve spiritual consciousness without having to go through that hard suffering, as they say in the West, the school of hard knocks, and directly they can achieve spiritual perfection, naturally we would prefer that. But of course, in so doing, some of these very orthodox parents who are conditioned to think that everyone has to enjoy and then suffer, and then after tasting all that bitter medicine, then they'll have a natural renunciation. But Lord Chaitanya has shortcutted that, and Srila Prabhupada has given us that nectar. That we don't have to suffer more than we've already suffered in this Kali Yuga. That immediately we can take up spiritual life. Atata brahma jigyasa. But now, at this moment, adyapiha, we can start to realize the presence of Lord Chaitanya through this International Society of Krishna Consciousness, through the pastimes of his great devotees, especially Srila Prabhupada and other previous great acharyas, and through the books which glorify Lord Chaitanya, that actually we should take up very seriously this movement and not look back, not think that we're missing something in the material world or that there's something that we won't get in Krishna consciousness that's there in material life. Anything worth having is available in Krishna consciousness. And if it's not available in Krishna consciousness, just like drugs, illicit sex, gambling, or meat eating, that simply means it's not worth having. It's something which is bad for us. Anything which is tolerable, even, you can have in Krishna consciousness. And anything which is intolerable, which is poisonous, that is restricted. So we shouldn't lament for anything in the material world. Rather, we should always be very optimistic with our spiritual life, and we should have a very pessimistic attitude regarding this material world. Actually, we see when someone goes back in the material world, they try to enjoy, but they suffer so much anxiety. So we don't want anyone to suffer this anxiety. We don't want anyone to, as Dar or someone we mentioned today, I think, oh, yesterday, someone mentioned this habu-dubu. We don't want anyone to take the dunking of habu-dubu in the material world. But we want everyone to stay in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. So our process, of course, is chanting Hare Krishna, dancing in ecstasy, and then offering a wonderful offering to Krishna and feasting. So since today seems to be dedicated to most of these activities, I don't want to delay the program any further. But I want to encourage everyone to take up that kshetra sannyas mood, whether you're a grihastha or brahmachari, or whether you're banaprasthi or sannyasi, that everyone should remain always in the kshetra of the Krishna consciousness movement and try to bring others into this transcendental free zone where they can be free from the reactions of their previous karmas and where they can be free to serve Krishna in transcendental love and ecstasy. Hare Krishna.